Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Pastor Ansu. We praise God for you, and we praise God for that thought there, right? By the way, that is an easy song to sing, but that is a challenging step to make in our lives, isn't it? Amen. And that's where God wants us to be, but that's an ongoing day-to-day thing, isn't it? It's not just a once and done, it's all time, right? So we are going to just ask God to bless our time together. So let's just unite our hearts in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for the day that you've given us. We want to just praise you, Lord, for the word that you've given us. We want to praise you, dear God, for your Holy Spirit, who has not left us here on earth to fend for ourselves and to figure things out for ourselves. And we just ask, Lord, that today that your word and the power of your Spirit would really speak to our hearts and would really change our thinking. And I pray, dear God, it would change our thinking in the way that we read and the way that we pray. And I ask, dear God, that the fruit would just show up in our lives in the days ahead. And I want to pray these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take out your Bibles, if you guys would, and go over to Psalm 119. And we spent a little while in this. We're going to spend two more weeks in this psalm before we're going to have our Black History presentation at the end of February last week. And then we're going to go back into the book of Romans. And we kind of looked at the theological piece. And we're going to talk about how do we live this out day to day. So let's just dive into Psalm 119. And I just want to take us where we are today is, we continue in our series, Like Rain and Snow from Heaven, the incredible power of the Bible to deepen our walk with God. And today we want to talk about something that's challenging. By the way, the song we just sang kind of teed it up, right? Surrendering all or obeying God, even when we're not quite sure how to do it or if it's right or if it makes sense, all those things. And I just want to share with you that picture there is actually part of a Bible, and it's actually in a museum in New York City, in the J.P. Morgan Museum, and it's called the Lindau Gospels. And by the way, check out that cover. Anybody got a Bible cover like that? And that Bible cover is it's gilded. It has all kinds of precious stones on it. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. You see that picture? That is how precious the word of God is. And that, by the way, came from Germany before J.P. Morgan bought it and put it in his library in the middle of New York City. Just so everyone could see. They said, by the way, J.P. Morgan, you know, powerful businessman, but he was one of the greatest purchasers of Bibles from the past because of his faith. And I didn't know that. That's pretty amazing. So check that out, right? The Bible is that valuable. And that's what we're going to dig into this morning. So we're going to go to our eternal truth. And we'll take it right on down. And just a thought before we take our eternal truth out is this. How many people have thought this way? I really want to obey God and his laws. Anybody, amen? I really want to obey God and his laws. Excuse me. But I struggle so much. Can I get an amen on that? Is there any help? And we're going to listen to Psalm 119 and we're going to find some help today. So let's dig in. Our eternal truth we want to share right now is this. And check it out. A heart of obedience results from a relational dependence on God. Everybody look up. In other words, we're not going to just easily obey God, do everything he says. It's not going to come natural. It takes some work, and it takes developing the relationship with God in its depths. And the cornerstone of this idea is this, and we said this last week, the conversation with God continues. Like it's like we read his word and we talk to God. We read his word and we talk to God. Like our devotion shouldn't be, we got to go read real fast, shut the book, and we go about our day. It's this conversation with God that we need to continue to develop. So we're going to go down to our first point this morning. I want to just take a quick review. Some of you maybe your first time here or aren't quite sure where we've been. But what we want to focus on is this idea of reflecting on what we have learned in Psalm 119, right? And the concept, there's a concept that kind of overarches it. And we're going to look at that in a quick second. And then some of the content that we've covered so far that kind of tees us up to where we're going to go now. And by the way, I do have my mic on now, but I wonder. So let's look at the concept first. And kind of get this in your mind. We're going to go right down the next slide. I don't know if you feel like this, but the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It really, really is. And we talked about why a lamp is important, why, you know, when we walk around in the darkness, we hurt ourselves, we make mistakes, we break things, just like walking without the Word of God. All those same things happen, right? So we want to slide down to the next slide and understand the content that we've seen so far. And if you look at Psalm 119, by the way, 176 verses, 22 different sections of 8 verses each, all beginning with the same letter. And what we learned so far was this, that the Word of God is a source of blessing. The second thing, and the Hebrew letters are there, Aleph was that first one. Base is the second one. The Word of God cleanses our way. By the way, I throw this out. Have you ever done something wrong and then realized, like, oh, that was wrong? Like, again, this does not come natural, especially in the deep parts of life, right? Then the Gimel, the Hebrew letter for like, C, really, Gimel, the Word of God shows us wondrous things. And I put that down there. God opens my eyes to see that my omniscient, remember, God knows everything, my omnipotent God is able to do everything, and our omnipresent God, the God who's all present all the time, is able to assure me, guide me, comfort me, counsel me, and change me in the face of affliction for my good through his written revelation. And we talked about this last week. By the way, anybody have any problems this week? The rest of you that did not raise your hand are not telling the truth. Right? Anybody had a crazy week? Stuff went wrong? Things didn't work out the way you thought? Right? We all struggled, right? Well, you know what? God uses affliction to get us onto our knees and get us into his word so we can figure out how to live life well and wisely. And he uses affliction to kind of get us there. You know what? When things are going good, man, we go on autopilot, right? But when we're afflicted, we are looking to God for the answers. And then last week we talked about this, how God revives our heart as we talk with him and depend on him to do what we can't do by ourselves. And as I seek him to teach me and give me understanding. And I'll just say this, that the character of God's word illustrates his character and his attributes. So we're going to kind of forge on from there today. So we'll go on to our next slide. And I want to talk about where we are today. We're going to begin in verse 33 and go up to 40. But here's the deal. We need to request what we need from God. And there's this these imperatives that are in this text of obedience. They're only something that God can provide. And I want you guys to think about this with me today. Have you ever just really, really wanted to do something spiritual, but you just couldn't really get it done? Right? You know, we say, I'm never going to do that sin again. Anybody been there? Whatever the sin is. By the way, we all struggle with certain kinds of sin. And we say, Lord, this is the last time. Please forgive me for that sin and help me not to do it again. And then we come to Monday. God, it's me again. I know I said it was the last time yesterday, but here I am one more time. And we praise God. You know, even God illustrates this in the Gospels, right?
that sins, we're supposed to forgive each other's sins 70 times 7. If you multiply that out, that's 490 times. Not about you, but I lose track after about 4 times. But the idea is that we continually forgive each other, and God continually forgives us. But God wants to change us. And I want to talk about that from this perspective today. I want you guys to get the big picture of this particular piece of the psalm. So I just want to go to verse 33. I just want to just read it for a second to get our thoughts moving in the right direction. He says this phrase. He says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law." And what I want us to understand is, our desire is to keep it. Our desire is to do it. Our desire is to glorify God. Our desire is to obey Him. But man, it's hard. I've heard a couple of amens. Amen. Thanks. Of course, suppose you're the only honest one here today. Right? Isn't it hard? It's hard to obey God sometimes, right? And that's what I'm talking about. We have needs, right? And this psalm addresses those needs. And it addresses, where are we going to find the one who can help us with those needs? And in Psalmist, as he writes this, he talks about this. And by the way, the big picture is, we got needs. And here's our big need. We have a need to understand. And then we have a need to obey. It's kind of the big picture, right? And I'll just share with you, there is only one person in this universe that can really help us to grasp the scripture and help us to change our heart to do it. And I just put a sort of another verse that goes with that. Look what Jeremiah said. Remember, Jeremiah said a lot of things. And, you know, favorite passage, I know God may not, this is one of your favorite passages, Jeremiah chapter 17, right? And Jeremiah said this. He said, In that passage, he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So our hearts, like, they struggle. And sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart, what motivates us, what drives us, why we do what we do. We don't quite know. And in Jeremiah, as you get up to chapter 33, look what God said. He said, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things." And I want you all to read the last phrase with me. "Which you do not know." And by the way, I'm pointing at you, but up here, right? He don't know either, right? God is the one who has to reveal to me in a way that I can understand what He's really saying to me. And Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, he says, "Call to me." And he said, what? "I will answer you." You know, it's not, he might answer you if he's not too busy. You know, maybe he's dealing with, Jonathan's problem. So he's kind of busy today. Maybe he won't call you back. No! Right? God is going to answer your prayer when we call out to Him, right? So he says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know." And I want us to get that in our minds. This is what we're talking about. This passage today is a passage of humble dependence on the one who can fix our issues. And the Bible says, and He says, "Call to me," right? And if I look at the beginning of this, it's these needs, and He addresses them in this text. He said, the first need is, I need to be instructed. And I want to throw this out for a second. He says, "Teach me." And we'll dig into that a little more in a second. But the idea is, I need some real eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart instruction about how things really work in life. And if I read Jeremiah, I really don't know how that is. Right? The second thing is, I need to understand God's ways and God's will. Everybody look up for a second. In order to do that, I need to take out Gary's ways and Gary's will and set those aside for a second to hear what God really thinks and what God really wants to get done. Does that make sense? And that's why He says this. He says, "Teach me, help me to understand." And I'll throw this out. The third need that we all have is for our hearts to really change. Everybody look up. How many times have we changed on the outside? Right? And it kind of worked for a little while. And then when things got too hot or too frustrating or too much, we went right back and did it the old way again. One of our greatest needs is heart change. In the depths of our heart. And by the way, we talk about this a lot. Hey, God, how do we talk about this a lot? Like, we know what we're supposed to do, and then in the heat of the moment, we don't do it. We get frustrated, right? Anybody been there? You have kids. Anybody get frustrated with their kids? That's a different church. Nobody gets frustrated. Oh. Some of you guys had two hands up, maybe your feet. You had everything up, right? Yeah, we get frustrated, right? How many times do we get frustrated at work? Gloria said, amen, brother, right? How many times do we get frustrated driving? Right? How many times do we get frustrated with other leaders, right? It's like a nonstop thing, right? And our heart just needs to change, and our will needs to get off of our will and onto God's will, right? That's the need. That's what he's trying to talk about here. And I'll throw this out. That doesn't happen if we just casually read the scripture. You kind of see where we're going, right? Like, and we do this, by the way. You know, we're a Bible-believing church. We value the Bible. We have all kinds of Bibles, study Bibles, commentaries. You know, we can look on our phone. We can look online. We can do all that stuff. But a casual read of Scripture, just real quick, is not going to change our heart or change our mind. It takes this conversation with God, this wrestling with God. Remember Jacob? It says this in the book of Genesis. It says, Jacob wrestled with God. Everybody look up. Anybody had a wrestling match with God before work yesterday or the day before? You know, we're kind of in this, in a culture that we live in, right? It's fast paced. Things are going on. Our lives are busy. I talk to a lot of people, we have lots of retirees, and they say, Dag, I'm so busy. I don't know how I ever worked. Right? Like, we're all feeling that kind of thing, right? So, like, and I'll throw this out. Someone made this statement. A preacher once said this before. He said, Satan came up with a different plan. He said, I don't need to make the Christians bad. I just need to make them busy. Right? And that's the challenge, because it kind of just neutralizes us from having our hearts really changed, our minds and our will directed toward God. You know, we read those things and we embrace it sort of at the surface level, but in the heat of the battle, it just kind of goes by the wayside and we act like who we are. But God wants to change who we are to who we ought to be, right? That's the idea. So these are some big needs that we struggle with, right? And can I get an amen? Isn't that true? I need to understand. I need to be instructed. By the way, it's instruction. I'll just add one last thing about that. Instruction tends to be something that happens over and over again. It's like you teach your kids, don't do that. I don't know about you, but my kids, that lasted like for that 5 minutes that happened, and then the next time they did it again. Right? There's this iterative process of, like a parent, how God disciplines us. You know, that says this book of Hebrews, that the Lord chastens or disciplines those that he loves. And the idea of chastening and discipline isn't like one time and they get it. It's over and over and over and over. And that's how God works with us. But he keeps bringing his word to us. And if we really have these conversations with God as we're reading his word, it begins to settle deeper into our hearts and into our lives. And it really begins to affect the change in the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants. And that's what we're striving for. So we got some big needs, right? We're going to slide on down to the next slide. And you know, another passage, right? We all know this one. We use this passage probably 2-3 times a month, right, Pastor Ansley, right? It just speaks to life, like in so many cases, doesn't it? The Bible says in Proverbs, right, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And certainly we're going to say amen to that. Lean not on our own understanding. And by the way, remember it says, because we don't know, we got to get our understanding. We don't know everything. We're not omniscient, we're not omnipotent, and we're not omnipresent. And he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we need this heart change, and we need our direction change, our will focus toward God. And everybody look up. This is the point. God wants to see us obey him. And by the way, look at the adjectives. What's the first one? Joyfully. I remember one time the Awana missionary came to First Baptist Church. This was a long while back. And he said, as we teach our students, our kids, the idea of obedience is it should be joyful. And how many times, by the way, have you seen your kids say, all right, I'll do it? There's not a whole lot of joy in that, right? You know, and you're like, can you please do this? All right. And they our kids do it because they just want us to leave them alone. Right? And the idea that God is looking for in our lives, including our lives of our kids, is that we obey God joyfully. We know that's what God wants. We want to do what God wants. It's not a drag for us. It's not awful for us. We're not doing it because we have to. That's what we're trying to get to, that place. And how about that? Everybody look up. As adults, right? Do you struggle with that? I want to obey God, but, you know, or I'm going to obey God, but it's really a struggle, right? That's what we're talking about. And then here's the next part I want you guys to get a hold of. The obedience that God's looking for is joyful and it is consistent. It's not when everything's going good, man, I'm loving God and I'm doing what he says. When everything's going bad, you know, I become the Tasmanian devil when I do anything I want. You know, it's just that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a heart change and a will directed toward God that our obedience is joyful and it's consistent. Day in, day out. That's what the Lord's looking for. So we're going to shoot down to our passage. And we kind of understand the big picture, right? There's needs and there's goals. And the goal is obedience. But make sure you guys write this down. The obedience is what? Joyful and consistent. Joyful, consistent. Those two things. And then as I open up this psalm, verses 33 to 40, this passage, this section, I want us to understand that's what elicits from the writer of this psalm the big picture are big needs. And big needs need big prayers. They need big conversation with God. They're huge, right? They need that. And Pastor Anthony, you preached this message. This idea, and this is, by the way, two sections ago, of opening our eyes. That's a big concept there. The big prayer is, God, open my eyes, and God, change my will and my values. That's a big prayer. And I'll throw this out to you again. Look up. That is not accomplished as we casually read the Word of God like we read the paper. And you guys are going, well, we don't read a paper anymore either. I know, right? We don't get a paper, right? Most of us, right? Right? And here's the challenge for us, by the way, as a church. And I remember years back when we started a new series, I would buy a book and we would all buy the book at cost and we would read it together. People, we don't have time to read. We're running so much that there's no time to read or no time to really change. But the challenge is that our values and our will have to change. And it's a process of a conversation with God as we read his word. We read things about his word to help us to understand it better. And his Holy Spirit sinks those thoughts and those ideas deeply into our hearts. And that's what we're going to look at this afternoon. So let's turn to the next slide. Big prayers. And by the way, can you all write this word down on your bulletin? You can write it on your hand, be good too. We are dependent on God. We need a conversation. There's things that only God can change that you can't change. As much as you want, as hard as you try, we need God. And I want to kind of dig in. And I tried to illustrate this in a way that we could see it again on the scriptures. And by the way, week to week, Pastor Anson and I, we always try to put the text up there. This is God talking. This isn't Pastor Ansu talking, Pastor Gary talking. This is God talking. This is what he says. And in the first line, if you see it in italics and underlined, that is his request to God. And by the way, it's like the author of this psalm is literally giving God a command. It's an imperative is the idea. And look what the first one is. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And by the way, look what his response is. And I shall keep it to the end. So I want you to understand, by the way, this goes back and forth throughout this passage. He says, God, do this, and I will keep your word. So the first thing I want you to get a hold of this morning is this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And I want to say this. Here's the challenge. How many of us out there are walking around in human flesh? Yeah, by the way, all your hands will be up, right? I hope they're all up, right? Okay? So we all are, right? Well, here's the deal. God's way is not your way. It never was. It was, by the way, before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God's way was their way. But God's way is not your way. It's not my way. It's not your wife's way. It's not your kid's way. It's none of our ways. And he says, God, teach me or instruct me in the way of your statutes. And it is, I have to understand deeply how God looks at life, how God created us, how God motivates us. And he says this, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And again, I want to say this. It's hard to pick that up with a quick, casual read. Like, it takes us really thinking and meditating and dwelling on these things, right? And he says this phrase. He said, I'll keep it to the end. I'm not going to try to belabor this or elongate this, but look what the next thing he says. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. And here's the thought. I want you guys to kind of get a hold of this in your mind for a second. Have you ever read the scriptures and said, I know God says that, but it just feels so wrong? You know, we live in this world, and by the way, it's not a bad thing. Let me say this. I'm going to qualify this statement. We live in an age where taking care of ourselves is the number one. And by the way, is it important for self-care? Yeah, it is. Absolutely is. But here's the deal. We are not God. We're not the ones to be worshipped. We're the one who should be the worshipper. Right? And I need to understand who God is, who I am, and what has he designed me to do, and what does he want me to do? And it says, give me understanding. I need that depth of understanding as I read his word. What does God want me to do? And I'm going to throw this out. Before God wants you to do anything, he wants to know, how are you going to think about it? Right? So he says, give me this understanding, and I shall keep your law. Now, that's half the battle. If I understand what God says, if he has instructed me well in what he wants me to do and how to think and how to talk, right? That's a big piece of the battle. But there's a second part. And the second part is not just an intellectual part or, you know, getting me thinking that way. It's changing my will so I actually want to do it. Now, I don't know about you. You know, as a church that teaches the scriptures, and it's been done that way for years, way before Pastor Gary and Pastor Ansu hit the scene, we've been instructed well in the Word. But the challenge of actually obeying God's Word is changing our will. And notice, by the way, the psalmist, as he says these things, this whole passage, Psalm 119, all 176 verses, right, lift up the power of the Word of God, right? But in the midst of that powerful Word of God, there is this ongoing conversation between the author of the psalm and God to please change his heart. And that's kind of where we are this afternoon, this morning, right? So look what he says next, and look at verse 35. He says, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Make me walk. In a similar way, look at verse 36. And I want to say one thing. Many times, as you read the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and you can write this down, wisdom literature are these books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. They're all wisdom literature. Wisdom literature that God gave us was to help us all live life well and wisely. That was the goal, right? And within that, many times, so we get it, God will say it one way, and then he'll say it another way again to reinforce it. It's called, the idea is called parallelism of thought. You know, parallel lines, God says it one way, then he says it another way. And many times he'll say it again, and then again. And it helps us to sort of, in a poetic way, grasp the concept. And that's kind of what's going on here, because look what he says. He says, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. Isn't it, I use me as an example. I love to learn, and it kind of excites me, and it draws me in. Amen? How many people here kind of like that? Learning new things? That you have a new job, and you get to learn new things, or you get to try some different responsibilities. It's really kind of fun. It really is motivating, right, to do that. And he says, you know, make me walk in the path of your commandments because I delight in it. So we can delight in God's commands. We learn new. We understand what they mean. We're like, wow, that's pretty cool, right? But then look what he says next. But he says, incline my heart to your testimonies. And here's the idea. God, move my heart to a place that it's changed so much, I want to actually obey and do what you said. And here's the point I'm trying to make, right? The point is, I can read things casually or begin to study them a little bit, and it can be motivating because my knowledge is increased. And it's kind of exciting. But now to incline my heart to obey God's word is a whole different level. Does that make sense? So he says, incline my heart to your testimonies. By the way, look at the opposite. Would you guys read it with me? Look at verse 36. Let's read it out loud. Incline my heart to your testimonies and what? Not to covetousness. Now, in the culture, I don't hear that word covetousness hardly ever out there. But let's just define what that word means, right? Covetousness is, it's really a desire for something that has crossed over the line from being healthy to being sinful. It's lifting something that you want up so much, it crosses the line to becoming an idol for your life. So he says, incline my heart to your word, not to covetousness. And I want you guys to understand this again. What's he trying to say? Covetousness is how we as men and women think. God's word is how God thinks. And I'll throw this out. Covetousness, we're going to have that until the day we die. And by the way, if we watch anything on TV, the movies, online, everything that's advertising based is really based on this idea that human beings always want more. Right? If I have this, I'll be better. If I have this, you know, I'll have more friends. If I have this, I'll have more pretty women. If I have this, right? That's what Madison Avenue and advertising try to get us to believe, right? That more is always better. And if you don't have this, you don't have enough. But the Lord, look what he says. And through his passage, through the psalmist, he says, incline my heart to your word. Get me focused on that, not on trying to get other stuff. And again, our culture is all based on stuff. And by the way, look at verse 37. He says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Now, this is a toughie. Think about this just for a second. How do you spend most of your time and what do you think about? How do you spend most of your money and what does it get you? You know, what are the things that really make you feel good, right? And the issue here is, you know what? The psalmist is saying, those things are so magnetic and so attractive that, God, if you don't take that away, I'm not going to be able to stop. Does that make sense? So I can read God's word, and I can know what I'm supposed to do, but that pull of the magnet over here is so strong, I can never really get to what God wants me to do. You understand? So he says, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. And by the way, that sounds so much like wisdom literature, because remember in the book of Ecclesiastes, by the way, the author was Solomon, the wisest man in the world, by the way, who had some of everything, tasted everything, tried everything, experienced everything. And at the end of his life, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, right? And the psalmist, we don't believe Solomon wrote Psalm 119. Could have been his father David. But look what he says. He says, Lord, take away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And I want you guys for a second to kind of think with me about that for a second. When we get to heaven, okay, when we get there, and by the way, as you know, a lot of people looking at the world, there's a whole lot of people out there going, we must be in the last days. And maybe we are. And again, I always say this, I always try to temper that thought with, that has been said because we live with an imminent return of Jesus Christ for about 2,000 years. And our perspective is only ours, so people may have had that same perspective maybe during World War II, during the Russian Revolution, during all these awful times of history, right? But we are certainly closer than we ever were. So when we all get to heaven, I want to ask you guys a question. The things that you and I spend all of our time on, thinking about, working on getting them, maintaining them when we get them, are those the things that will count in eternity? Yeah, isn't that kind of crazy? So by the way, isn't that a good prayer? Everybody look up. I am not trying to make us all paupers, including myself. I'm trying not to say, don't have any fun, don't have any enjoyment, have this awful life where, you know, all we do is give everybody else everything good. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, God, order my life. That song says, order my steps in a way with eternities in my mind. And the psalmist writes this. He says, turn away from my eyes from looking at worthless stuff. And by the way, it might be worthless for a little while. It might be worthwhile for a little while. But that can't be the focus. Because when I get to heaven, by the way, they say there's only two things that are going to pass from this place to there. You know what they are? The Word of God and people. And how many times in our lives where we use people to get things that won't even be in heaven. Yeah. Right? We're supposed to use things to get people.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that a different way to think? Now throw this out. Everybody look up. Let's be honest, right? You don't have to say anything, but let's be honest. Isn't that so unnatural? Because we just want to get what we want. But you see, the psalmist is like so profound. He's saying, God, I'm reading your word. I'm beginning to understand it. Please, dear God, take away the magnetism of these worthless things so that I can do and obey what you want me to do that matters for eternity, not just for now. And that's the big challenge, isn't it? We're going to skip down to the next slide. Look what he says next. He says, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. And here's what he's talking about here. He's saying, God, help me to understand your word so much and to actually take it into the depths of my soul so it becomes the line that I live by. It becomes the force that compels me to make decisions properly. He says, Lord, establish the word in me. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. And I know, by the way, how many people, by the way, are over 60 years old? My hand's up. How many people struggle to remember scripture? And by the way, you might be under 60 and you have the same problem. So I get it, right? All right. Right? You know, and they say this phrase, right? You can't teach old dogs new tricks. So I got news for y'all. You're not dogs, and these aren't tricks. Right? So we can, with a little bit of effort, we can really have God's word established in our being. And after this, as we get older, it probably takes a little more work. Like I said this to you guys before, sometimes, and the busyness of life works against us, right? Sometimes you read something in the morning, you can't even remember at dinner time what you read. But you said, man, it was so good. And I know I've done it. I said, oh, man, the devotee was profound. What was it? You know, right? And what he's actually asking is, he's saying, God, in this conversation with God as I read his word, establish your word in my heart so that it sticks, so that it's in the depth of my being, right? And that may mean I need to talk about it over and over. You know, I'll throw this out loud, and we don't maybe hear this a lot even around church. We hear a lot about football and all kinds of sports and all kinds of things, but wouldn't it be cool if we actually, our conversation was at lunch, hey, you know what? This is what I read about today. This is what God told me. I mean, I love the Eagles too, and I love the Cowboys some, but but man, God, establish your word in my life, right? You know, establish your word. So he's praying these things. And then he says, turn away my reproach, which I dread. Lord, don't let me suffer at the hands of evil people. Take that away. And I'll throw this out. You know why? Because when we suffer at the hands of evil people, what do we want to do as human beings? I'm going to get revenge. I know I read about love my brother. I ain't feeling like loving him right now. Right? Take that away, God. And by the way, think about this psalmist. He's saying, God, get that word deep in me and take away the distractions that make me struggle to really grow. And it's this conversation. As the word of God is read, I'm saying, Lord, I understand what you're saying. Establish that in me, Lord. Help me to really get a grip on that. God, this is what I'm wrestling with. This is the magnets that are pulling me away. God, help me to overcome those. Take those away. And by the way, sometimes we pray those prayers, God does some remarkable things. Sometimes they're the kind of scary things he does in our lives, but God will respond because God wants you and he wants your heart, he wants your soul. And then he says these last words, revive me in your righteousness. So I want to leave us with this thought today. Go down to the next slide, please. Laureen is doing this today, doing a good job, right? And here's what it says. It says, here's how do we realize what we just read personally? So here's the thought. And that's kind of been our thought this whole month, right, about God's word. So God's word is a blessing prioritize it. I know you're busy. By the way, is anybody not that busy right now? Raise your hand. Who's not busy? Right? You're retired, you're still busy. You know, you're saying, I'm old, I'm still busy. Right? We're all struggling with that, right? Just put God's word, numero uno, number one, into the context, right? We read about this, right? God's word will cleanse us. Bathe in it. You ever feel like sometimes you just need to get a shower? You just feel dirty, sweaty, right? And you just can't wait to get cleaned up. That's God's word, right? Bathe. And by the way, when you take a bath, it's kind of funny. I remember our youngest, Dan. He got the fastest showers I have ever seen. He was always on to the next thing. I mean, and he's real clean. He dresses real. You know, he figured it out later on. But this guy, he got the fastest showers on earth. Like, most parents are complaining about, get out of the shower. Yeah. We've had this conversation, right? You know, the kids are in the bathroom, the water's running, and they haven't even got in the shower yet. Right? But the idea here is, if God's word is so cleansing, bathe in it so that it can wash off the filth of this world. Take the time to bathe, right? God's word shows us wonders. And I'll throw this out. Meditate on it. Don't just read and say, that's cool. And then your husband asks you later on, what was so wondrous? I don't know, but it was amazingly wondrous. Right? You know, meditate on it. Think about it. You know, as you're driving your car, say the verse over and over, like how you learn, memorize scripture. Like, say it, meditate on it. Think about it again, right? God's word will revive us. Talk to him about it. So when you're reading God's word, God, help me understand it. Instruct me in it. Take away the distractions from it. Establish it in my heart. And God, I'm really wrestling with this problem. Help me to overcome that so I can get it really in there good. Right? And then God's word must be obeyed. And here's the thought. Depend on him. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can talk about it all day. The doing it part is where the rubber hits the rope. Right? We could talk about it. We could say all kinds of things about it. But guess what? God's the only one who changes the heart. Amen. He's the only one. So let's close with a word of prayer. And by the way, I want to say this. You know, God's word has this convicting, life-changing power. And the greatest thing that God convicts us of is our sin and our need for Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here today, please, please reach out to us. Reach out to your neighbor there in the pew. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today's the day. We're going to pray, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, dear God, for the power that it has. I pray, dear God, that we would begin to read your scriptures the way we talk to each other, into the most important people in our lives. Help us, dear God, to have a conversation with you, Lord, so that your word can settle deeply into our souls. I pray, dear God, that you would, as we bring these issues to you, Lord, take away the distractions, the magnetic things that just keep sucking away our time and our focus so that we can really change. And I pray, dear God, that we as a congregation, Lord, as we begin to understand that reading your word is part of our relationship with you, I pray, dear God, that you would deeply develop our relationship. Lord, that we would read and we would pray, Lord, in a conversational way, Lord, that your word might really stick in our hearts and really change our lives. I pray, Lord, these things, Lord, because we need you. We are dependent on you. And I ask, Lord, that you would really, really change our hearts. And I ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So we're going to ask our deacons to come up. And I want to just ask all of you, how many folks, when you came in today, you were able to get the elements of communion? If you didn't get them, it's okay. Just raise your hand and our deacons would be so happy to serve you those right now. All good. By the way, don't feel bad. Sometimes me and Pastor Anstey, we forget the elements too. But we have good deacon brothers and they bring them up to us. So just raise your hand if you did not get the elements this morning. Keep your hand up, and I think the guys are coming around. I do. Anybody in the front? I have one extra. Good hand. All right. Now, children are coming in, too. Keep it up for a quick second. All right. Are you good? You are. All right. All right. Good, right? All right. I think we are good. Anybody did not get the elements? Amen. All right. I just want to encourage you, take your Bibles, turn to Luke real fast. And this is the celebration of the Passover. So Jesus, right before he got to be crucified, he got all the disciples together and said, and it was going to be their Passover celebration, which Jesus is that Passover lamb. And said, when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with a fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, God has been a gift giver to all of us for all of eternity. He gave us his word to draw us to himself. He gave us his word to change our lives. And he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could have eternal life. And as we partake of the bread illustrates the body of Jesus that was broken for us, literally broken, crucified, beaten, all those things, so that me and you could have a relationship with God that will last for all of eternity. I'm going to ask Deacon Morris if he would pray for that bread that represents Jesus' broken body.
Dear Heavenly Father, first we want to thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. And dear Father in heaven, we want to remember today your Son who sacrificed his life on the cross for us. We want to think about him and everything he did. He died on the cross. He was buried. He died. He was buried. And then he rose again on the third day. And he did this for our sins. And dear Father, we will never forget. We will always remember. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I encourage you to just open your little chalice up, your cup. Take out the bread. You know, bread's the simplest thing almost on earth, isn't it? We know about this, remember the Christmas season, remember? The bread of life, Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And he was born that his body could be given and it would give us forgiveness of sins and eternal life and part of God's family for all of eternity. So as we look at that bread, let's remember what Jesus did. And let's live like we really mean it in thankfulness to him.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, Paul says this. He says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. You know, I read this passage and it comes to this reflection just came to me, and like, imagine women giving birth, right? They go through pain, and sometimes they shed blood. And I listened to one other mother, she was angry with her son. And she said, I shed my blood for you to come on this earth. And you disobey me, and I'm saying that you don't want to listen to me. She was angry because if you think about the pain that she had to go through, for her son to be here and not listen, so it just come to my mind, thinking about what Christ did for us by sharing his blood just to save us, just to bring us closer to him, for us to be a part of his family.
Amen.
And it's something that we can think and say, if Christ can share his blood for my sake, he deserves every part of me to honor him, to remember that he had to share his blood for me to be free and safe. We'll ask Deacon John to just pray for the element of the wine.
Let us pray. Our dear everlasting Father, we praise your holy name. We thank you because you are God. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blood that you shed on the cross for our sin. As we gather this afternoon to do which you have commanded us to do, this cup that represents your blood, that cleanses all sin, all diseases of all manners, we pray that as we partake this afternoon, Lord, you will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, Lord. Father, mighty God, as we move on this week, we pray that the love that you share with us, we're able to share that to the whole world because you first love us. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for everything you've done in our life and things that you continue to do as we move on. We just thank you for everything, Lord. And as we partake together, we pray that you will be with us, will be a blessing to our body and our soul. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And Jesus said, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. And Paul is saying that, remember what he did on the cross. He shed his blood for your sake. Make it personal. He shed his blood for me. And he deserved me to honor him, to glorify him, always remember him. So let us just drink and remember the Lord.
In the gym before we have our business meeting. By the way, what an awesome song, right? The blood will never, never lose its power.
Jesus.
with a word of prayer. And we want to invite everybody. We have our business meeting every about 1:30. And it's not going to be long, but we want to talk about what we think God wants us to do and what each of our parts are in that equation. Because it's not just the pastors, not just the deacons, not just the teachers, but it's the whole crew, the FBC crew, right? We're so happy to have the FBC crew. So we invite you to come back, and I encourage you, we're going to have lunch right now. I know Lachie has brought many, many great things. Remember, if you want to grab some at the food pantry, particularly a butterball turkey, that'd be great. You can get that. Get it, grab it real fast. Meet us for lunch, and meet us back in here about 1:30. Amen? And my hope and my prayer is that God's word in the power of his Holy Spirit would just really change us in 2025. It would help us to reach those goals of really walking with God, following God, and making disciples. Amen? Pastor Andrew, would you pray us out, my brother?
Let's pray. Gracious, eternal, everlasting Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for how great you are and how awesome you are, Lord. And Lord, thank you for your word that helped to teach us, show us who you are and the wonderful things, oh God, that we can abide through your word, in your word, and move on, oh God, in you. Help us, Lord, as we go out this week to remember your goodness from your word, and that we'll be established. And our eyes, oh God, will focus on you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Bless us now. Carry us through. We commit our business meeting to your hands, even our luncheon as we celebrate together. Lord, we pray that you just bless the food that nourish our bodies, oh God. And as we come together to discuss matters of importance this year for our church and the group of our church, Lord, we say you give us wisdom, Lord, and direction, oh God, to do what you called us to do, that you will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.